Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, boys and girls, welcome, my minions. Welcome to The Balance. That's right, it's Saturday morning. The number one sports talk show in the world is ready to go.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Morning, my name's Tom Marquis, my minions. Welcome to The Balance, the number one internet sports talk show in the world, not to mention all over the United States on our different affiliate stations, and of course right there on your computer, your smartphones, and what have you. Well, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. I tell you what, we've got a very jam-packed show for you today. Standing by with us here in just a moment, we're going to join him, Tim Porter, manager of the Newcastle Little League Trojans. And I'm going to tell you what, I am really excited to talk to him today. 9:30, we got Leslie Harley of the Families of Hope. And then I tell you what, we're going to start talking some football, guys. Obviously, as you know, we're a national show. So we're going to be breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears today. And then at 10:15, we're going to be jumping right into our fantasy football huddle. And also, of course, we're going to be talking about the MotoGP here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And as well as your Indianapolis Colts take on, that's right, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Preseason game number 2. How about that, Andrew Luck, number 12? First play, first game. Yeah, I know. We got to give credit to Donald Brown. It was just a dumb pass, but great run by Donald Brown. And I don't know, maybe I was really encouraged to see the way the Indianapolis Colts played. But not as near as encouraged as I am to see these young kids from Newcastle play. And I'm thrilled. And when I say I'm thrilled, I don't get thrilled very often. But I'm thrilled to have Coach Manager Tim Porter on the line with us, who's out in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Tim, welcome to The Balance, sir. Are you with us, Tim? I'm hoping we have Tim. Tim, are you with us? Okay, well, we're gonna work on that. Yeah, these kids from Newcastle, they are really tearing it up here out there in Williamsport. And what a great game they played last night. I'm hoping that we've got Tim here now. Tim, are you with us? Okay, my producers are going to try and reach Tim. I tell you what an exciting time for, you know, and here's what's even more exciting. You know, I used to play Little League Baseball, yes, that's true. I did play for the Newcastle when I was a kid. I played for Newcastle, so it is fantastic. You know, and you know what? I watched this game last night, and you know what a great fifth inning, and I don't want to tear all the thunder down together there with our coach Tim Porter, which we're trying desperately to get on the line here. I'm just waiting to get a word back from my producer that we have him on the line here. So as soon as we get him on the line here, we'll have him hopefully here very, very soon. Well, guys, the Indianapolis MotoGP going on down at the IMS. And I tell you what, if you guys are a motorcycle fan, even if you're not a motorcycle fan, I'm going to tell you what, that is an exciting time. Have you seen these guys go around that track at 200 miles in some on an hour? I'm going to hope here, I think that we do have Tim Porter on the line with us. Tim, are you with us? I think we're still trying to get I'm getting miscues, but that's okay. You know, talking about the, you know, welcome to live radio. And you know what? A very busy guy. He's been doing interviews all week long, and I'm just glad that he took time to jump on the air with us here. We're really trying to get him on here. I want to talk with him in great detail about the Newcastle Trojans, Little League, representing the state of Indiana, and, you know, really proud of them and what they're doing. And it's just what an ambassador that those kids are for the state, and a lot of good stuff that's going on with him. So we're trying to get manager Tim Porter on the line with us. Now, I you know what I was talking about? 200 miles an hour, and you know, all the bikes are in town. You know, maybe no MotoGP riders are looking forward to the Red Bull Indianapolis MotoGP. I tell you what. Wait a minute. I think we do have a coach. Is this Tim on the line with us? Well, we're still trying to reach him. I'm not sure what's going on. But we're going to try to reach him again here, and we keep getting mixed signals here. So hopefully we'll have him on the air here in just a moment. So. Anyway, so, you know, what we're talking about here is the MotoGP. We're trying to very desperately. What would Saturday morning be if everything just went the way that it's supposed to be, right, guys? You know what? And here's the thing. You know, we certainly would want to hear your thoughts on you know, the MotoGP and the Colts and what have you. So. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to regroup here, take a break, and when we get right back, hopefully we'll have Coach Porter on the line here with us. I've got, you know, all kinds of things. Everybody giving me all kinds of signs and saying, hey, do this, do that. Well, anyway, we're gonna be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. This is Saturday morning. Are we having fun?
J.R. Hildebrand, 223.028, more boost, more speed, 223.028, a clean lap.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com.
With a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of frame access. sports. Mark Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Well, we may not be very good at sports, but we're good about talking about sports. Welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're standing by here. We're still trying to reach manager Tim Porter of the Newcastle Little League. You know, we're just having some connection problems, and, you know, that's the beauty of phones. But I'll tell you what, how about these kids? This venue has to be like Disneyland for these little leaguers. The biggest crowd they have ever played for, you know, a carpet of checkerboard grass, the major league style dugouts, the bright lights, television, ESPN, interviews. I tell you what, these kids will remember this for the rest of their life. Really trying very hard and desperately here to get Coach Porter on the line with us. We're hoping that we can make that connection. Hopefully he'll be on here with us just any time here. I do think we do have Coach Porter on the line with us now. Is this Tim Porter?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Good, sir. I'm so glad that we connected. Sometimes, you know, connections just don't work as they always do. I appreciate your patience with us. Well, I got to imagine this is a pretty exciting time for you guys. Obviously, we watched you guys last night in front of the lights. The entire world watched you guys just tear apart Oregon piece by piece. And obviously, fantastic fifth inning, and we'll get to that right here in just a moment. But one of the things I want to talk with you about, Newcastle, Indiana, a lot of people may not know about where it is. I do. I actually played Little League when I was a kid in Newcastle, and my parents transplanted me down to Evansville later on in life. But I'm excited for you guys. Tell me about the feeling that the kids are having. Like I said, this has got to be like spending a week in Disneyland.
Well, since you played at Newcastle, you know our diamonds look exactly like these do here in Williamsport. And I'm joking when I say that. This is a beautiful facility here.
I was going to say, maybe things changed a lot since the 70s when I played down there. But, I mean, we played in Baker Park area, but yeah. Go ahead.
You know, we're having the time of our lives out here. And, you know, they have nice facilities. They treat us really well. You know, there's a lot of good teams here with interesting personalities that we're hanging out with, and you know, and I guess that's the part of it that I didn't expect was you know, to be in lunch with all these, you know, foreign teams and interacting with those kids, and you know, I really think we're going to make some lifelong friendships out of this, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, that might be more important than playing Little League baseball. I don't know, you know, but that certainly surprised me a lot. They've got a nice rec room here that's got some ping pong tables and arcade games and things like that. And, you know, all the kids are there in their downtime, you know, hanging out with each other and trading pins and things like that. So it's just really cool to see that, to see how the game of baseball can bring people together like that.
Oh, you know, and absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And obviously, Newcastle is a small town east of Indianapolis. We're a national show, just to kind of put a geographical point. Now, you mentioned something just now that stood out to me here, that you guys are actually, you know, having lunch and, you know, hanging out with all these people from various different countries. And the way I understand it is your team has actually befriended the Uganda team. And I'm going to let you tell us what your team and what how your little league team together said, you know, let's forget about baseball for a second. There's a greater need in Uganda. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
You know, we share a dorm with them, and, you know, we have one end of the dorm, and then there's a common bathroom area, and they have the other end. And we're just talking to their coach, and you know, he said they don't wear cleats where they play, you know, and we could tell when they came in that, you know, a lot of their pants were 3 or 4 or 5 inches, you know, too short. And so, you know, we thought there was a need there, and they're a great bunch of kids, and their coach is real friendly. And so, you know, the other night we decided we wanted to throw them a pizza party. And I went up to the coach and said, hey, we want to have a pizza party for you. And he said, that's great. He said, I can't believe this is happening to us. We're so honored. What is a pizza? And I said, well, it's pizza. And he said, oh, that's lovely. We can't wait to be there. And, he said, tell me something. What will our kids do with this pizza? I said, well, it's a kind of a flatbread with some, you know, tomato sauce. They had no idea what pizza was. And mm-hmm. But, you know, we decided to, our school back home is donating a backpack, a Newcastle T-shirt, hat, some socks, underwear, stuff like that for all the kids. And that's kind of how it all started. And then, you know, I guess they said, hey, maybe some other people where they live could use some clothing. And so last I heard, our concession stand was full of clothes ready to be shipped out. And I think they're working on all those logistics right now of who to get it to there and all that stuff. But, you know, an interesting twist on this, I was here yesterday. We were walking up for practice, and a gentleman stopped me and said, are you with the Great Lakes team? And I said, yes. And he said, you know, I read your article in the paper the other day about sending some clothes to Uganda. And he said, I work for a local university, and we were getting ready to throw away a bunch of old athletic equipment. And he said, I read that story, and then 2 hours later, I read a story about the country of Barbados is trying to get like a YMCA type deal, like a national youth fitness thing going, and they didn't have any equipment. And he said, you know, hit me right in the forehead, bam, this is what we need to do. We need to send this stuff that we were going to throw away to them, and they can use it for, you know, for something that they have a need for. So hopefully, you know, a couple people hear about it and can pay it forward, and you know, we can do some stuff for other people as well.
Well, we're talking with Newcastle Little League team manager Tim Porter. Tim, what an awesome ambassador you guys are for the state of Indiana as well. It's not often that Indiana gets represented out in the World Series, and even though we're a national show, we wanted to take some time and spend with you this morning and talk about just an experience that you guys are having. And as we're talking here with you guys, and it just amazes me how the unity, and I know the community of Newcastle, my parents graduated high school there in Newcastle, so I'm very familiar with the community of Newcastle. I have a lot of family that live in and around Newcastle that are listening to our show today, as a matter of fact. But it is a very tight-knit community, and those that don't know that, I'm telling you that. And it doesn't surprise me at all that they have come together and put this together for the Uganda team. Now, another storyline with you guys, you guys are actually playing for a very special person on your team, and I want you to tell us that story as well.
I assume you're talking about Danny Smekins.
Correct. I'm sorry. I wanted Danny, you to just tell the story there.
Yeah, Danny has started coaching this team when they were 7 years old, and I think we all knew that there was something special with these kids then, and we certainly didn't know it was this big, but we started winning tournaments, and you know, somebody threw out a record of 86-1 or something like that. These kids have been since they were 8 years old, and I don't know if that's true or not. But so, you know, Danny certainly saw that dream. He was the manager of the team, and he came down with cancer a few years ago, and you know, fought it several times, but it kept him coming back and. So in 2010, we went down, we won a state championship, and Danny was a very hands-on, liked to throw some batting practice and work with the kids and stuff, and you can tell when he started sitting out of those responsibilities he had on the team, when he stopped doing those, that something was up, you know, and he certainly didn't tell anyone. But I think he was tired of fighting the fight, and he knew that we were going to win a state championship that year, and he didn't want to take chemo during that run. So he kind of stuck it out and seen that season go through, seen us win that. He even set up a weekend tournament down with the Kentucky state champions at the time, and then tried to get us in a super regional down in Florida with 10 Atlantic Coast teams. And so, you know, even though he knew that the end was there, you know, he was, you know, like a surfer riding that wave and wanted to ride it as long as he could. So, unfortunately, about 6 months after that, he had passed away. And, you know, but, you know, not all these kids played for him, but a lot of them did. And, you know, we've added a couple of new faces to the team this year. But for the most part, all these kids have had some coaching with Danny. And, you know, he's done a lot for our league, too. He's a vice president on our board for several years. You know, he's the I always joke around about taking care of the diamonds, because I kind of do a lot of that now that Danny's not there. But people think a diamond fairy comes around every night and maintains those diamonds. And, you know, a lot of people like to complain because this is that or that's not. You know, Danny spent 5-6 hours a day, every day, making sure those diamonds were prepared for every kid in that league. And not every kid makes All-Stars, but he made sure every kid in that league had a chance to play 18 baseball games on a diamond that was well-groomed and, you know, all that good stuff. So he put the time in for everybody in the league, and he did a lot more in this league than simply coaching the All-Star teams. But certainly he's a guy that we want to remember as somebody that, you know, we're probably not here today if he didn't put all the time and effort into it for 5 years. So he certainly remembered every day with us.
Absolutely. We're talking with the team manager of the Newcastle Trojans, Tim Porter. Well, Tim, I tell you what, now the excitement really begins. You guys started, you won the game and really just kind of a thriller last-second thing against Kentucky to get to this point. And so just the excitement and all that finally wore off, and you guys were here to play a ball game in Williamsport, and you guys kept your routine the same, the way I understand it, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches before the game, prayer, all that stuff has been working. It worked last night. Fifth inning, great inning. I tell you what, I was excited to just see the kids come together there in the fifth inning. Now, let me ask you this. What's it like to be mic'd up by ESPN on a Little League baseball game?
I don't do it, so it's great for me. they ask me every game, and getting me to speak to you right now, it takes a crowbar. And so I'm not wired like that. So I don't do it, but, you know, our other two coaches do it, and, you know, people are going to get a lot more value out of what they have to say than probably what I have to say. So we mic them up, and it's, but, you know, we've talked about it, and it's, you know, there's a lot of things you say every day that, you don't want 30 million people to hear you say. So, it's,
sure.
You know, it's different, you know, just like it is for all the kids. You know, these dugouts, there's 6 microphones planted on the tops of the dugouts. And you know, every time Johnny says, oh, you know, poop, I missed it, you know, 30 million people hear him say poop, you know. So it's, there's cameras in there and everything. And you know, these kids, they're so competitive, and they, you know, when you strike out, you know, people sometimes get emotional about that, you know, and you know, you might toss a helmet over by your bat bag, and, you know, 30 million people just saw you do that. You know, it's not a good thing, but it's hard to pull back those reins.
Sure.
On a kid that, you know, they have, you know, I think they're upset because they struck out. They're also upset because they feel like they let their teammates down, you know, but they don't realize they're hitting against people here that throw the equivalent of 104 miles an hour in a Major League Baseball game, and they're 12 years old. So, there's a lot of things about this place that are different than what we're used to. And, you know, you don't get eased into that process either. It's you're kind of thrown into the ocean swimming with sharks and kind of fend for yourself on it. And, you know, they try to transition you, but it's such a big transition. You know, we had to be here an hour and 15 minutes before the game to sit in the dugout for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
In a 4x12 box with 12 kids and 3 coaches and 12 bat bags, crowded place with lights on, and it's hot in there, everybody's sweating, and you just sit there and wait. But, you know, the other team had to go through it too, and every team here has to go through it. So, you know, we're all on an equal playing field. It's just, you know, we're here to play baseball and not sit in dugouts and sweat and all that stuff. But it is what it is. We're having a blast with it, I'll tell you.
Well, you guys are doing a great job, and obviously, unsure whether or not you play today or tomorrow, but we know you're going to play tomorrow. You know, now talk a little bit about last night's game. Obviously, Corey Murphy started the scoring spree there in the fifth inning, and it just kept going and going after that point with the single that moved to a second sacrifice and scored on with 2 wild pitches, and then you had Gillis that followed with 4 batters with a half-hearted swing, and then turned around and hit right down the right field line. And what an amazing, I tell you what, I was watching that game. I'm a huge St. Louis Cardinal fan. I was watching that game as if I was watching the St. Louis Cardinals, and I was really excited. You know, after, and you guys may not know this yet, but after ESPN broke away and they were showing some highlights of your particular game, they were also showing some big leaguer tweets, and I didn't write all those down, but I will tell you this, big leaguers from all over the MLB were tweeting about your game and what a great fifth inning you guys had. So just walk me through that fifth inning and how you guys came together, and was there a certain strategy once you guys started getting runners on base and you started making those runs that you knew that, hey, this is what we've got to do to finish this off?
Yeah, and we knew if we got runners on, we would be okay. And but that's the key to it, is in this level of baseball, we got to get kids on, and that's whatever it takes. But bunting, walking, whatever, you know, we hope we're hitting our way on, but you see some good pitchers. And, you know, one of the biggest differences on this diamond compared to what we're used to playing on is the backstop there. It all slopes down. It's about a 3-foot drop. You know, it might be 20, 25 feet back to the wall. So there's going to be a lot of times in these games where if you're on first base and there's a pass ball, you might be at third base by the time it's all said and done. So so we knew if we could get some people on, and a lot of kids throw jump balls here, and you know, a lot of those end up in the dirt. If they end up in the dirt, they're going to be in the wall behind the catcher. So we knew we could get in on some pass ball opportunities or at least move some bases. But, you know, our team is – I hate to say this, but it's built on, you know, we very rarely come out in the first, second inning and pound somebody and score 7 or 8 runs. You know, it doesn't happen that way. I wish it did, because I'd have a lot more hair. We're pretty notorious for just kind of hanging around. And it seems like that fourth, fifth, sixth inning, then we jump on people. And a lot of teams have that stud, that one or two or three guys that you know is going to come through for you. And we have that. But a lot of our games are started with the 6, 7, 8, 9 batters. And that game last night, Corey Murphy sitting in the sixth hole for us, you know, gets on base, and I think 2 or 3 of the batters in the 6, 7, 8, 9 holes scored for us that inning, I think. So a lot of good things happen from 1 through 9 in our lineup, and we certainly have some pop in those first, 4 or 5 spots as well. But usually when we make a run, you know, that's where it starts. So I was happy to see those kids come out and get that production again. And, you know, some of those kids are, we carry 12 kids on the team and 3 of them are substitutes, you know, but it's nice to have a sub come in and knock the ball out like that. I mean, it's a good feeling for that kid. I know Corey got interviewed last night on ESPN, and that meant a lot to him. And so, but you know, that's something with Corey. We've come to expect that out of him. You know, that he's going to get a hit when he gets up to bat. And a lot of teams can't say that about the, some of the kids that maybe bat in the bottom half of the lineup.
Well, we got time for one more question here, and we're running a little bit behind here today. And standing by with us also here in just a moment after our break, we're going to be talking with Families of Hope and what all how auto racing is involved with them. So, but one thing I wanted you to share with our listeners is how you guys do prep for a game. Now, here's the thing: you've got Texas coming up. Everybody knows they're no joke. Obviously, Jordan Cardenas over there has the ability to hit home runs. Has proven that he has the ability to do that. Texas is a very, very good team, a very strong team. Obviously, they wouldn't be to the level just like you are in the Little League World Series if they weren't a good team and earned their way there. But Texas is a threat to you guys. I think you know that. How do you portray to your team, who are just some young kids, it's just another game, guys. They're a dominant team, but it's just another team. How do you guys prepare for a team like Texas on Sunday?
We probably don't stand a chance against them. I mean, they're, you know, everybody's saying how dominant they are, and they are. I mean, great team, great coaches, great players. From what I hear, they have a pretty historical tradition there at their Little League facility. But, you know, while we're going to show up Sunday and we're going to play baseball, and you know, we beat a Jeffersonville team in our state final that everybody thought was going to be playing in Williamsport, really good ball club. We beat a Kentucky club that should be playing here. If they were in another region, they would be here. I can almost guarantee it. Great ball club. So, you know, the Texas team, a lot of good stuff about them. I think they had an announcer, a national guy, say some good stuff about him, and a lot of people picked up on that, and you know, they're a good ball club. So, but you know, hope they overlook us like everybody else has, and you know, like I said, we're here to play baseball, and you know, we're all looking forward to Sunday and seeing what happens. So,
we'll
find out at 7 o'clock.
Well, I hate to do this to you, but I'm getting all those hand signals. That means I've got to let you
sure.
go. I'd love to have you all day long. We're rooting for you on Sunday back here in Indiana, and we hope that I tell you what, miracles can happen, and you guys have proven that. Thanks for taking your time, and good luck to you guys.
Hey, thank you so much, okay?
All right, thank you. Manager Tim Porter of the Newcastle Little League team. I tell you what, out there in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, I tell you what, exciting time for those kids. Some great storylines. I hope you had a chance to hear the stories about Coach Murphy and obviously about their clothing drive for the team from Uganda. Guys, we've got to take a break. Right around the corner, Families of Hope is standing by, and we'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. Welcome back, my minions, to The Balance, the number one indie pro sports. We're so glad that they are part of our show. But this is The Balance. Sometimes I get all tongue-tied and all that stuff on Saturday morning. Gen Con here in Indianapolis, guys. I couldn't resist the Imperial March. I tell you what, all the crazy people are out and about in downtown Indianapolis. And if you're a gamer and you're not here in Indianapolis, all I can say is you must be a nerd. I don't know. I don't know why you're not here. Because if you're a gamer, this is the place to be in Indianapolis as well as the MotoGP. But the place to be right now is The Balance, and we're coast to coast, the number one internet sports talk show in the world. With us right now is a young lady I had an opportunity to meet last weekend with a very, very good organization called Families for Hope. Leslie Harley. Leslie, are you with us?
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Leslie. How are you doing? Welcome
I'm
to
good.
Balance.
Thanks for having me. And I appreciate you called me a young lady. A lot of people call me ma'am these days.
I've learned that when it comes to women, it's always young. It's always young, and so I've learned that over the years. So I appreciate you taking time to come on board with us and talk with us about Families of Hope. And I know you went to all that time to send me the correct pronunciation of the acronym of what HOPE is. What I'm going to tell you is, as much as I tried to practice it, the Southern Indiana in me would not let it come out. So I'm just going to let you tell us what Families of Hope means and what it's all about.
Okay, sure. Well, first, I have to tell you, it's Families for Hope.
Oh, so Families for Hope. So my fault.
I don't want any of our listeners to make a drinking game out of it, you know, as you say Families of Hope, but it's Families for Hope. And the condition, which took me about a week to learn how to say and spell, is called holoprosencephaly. And it's basically where the front part of the brain doesn't separate into the left and right hemispheres, so it stays fused as one grouping there. And basically in 2003, I was pregnant with my first and only child, and I went in for a routine ultrasound, and it revealed that something wasn't quite right with the baby's brain. They could tell just with different measurements that something was wrong. So we had a higher resolution ultrasound, and that basically they said your baby has holoprosencephaly. They explained what it was to me. And what I've discovered is it's the most common brain malformation of a developing fetus. It occurs very, very early in pregnancy, between days 17 and 21 of fetal development. And it typically results in early miscarriage. So, if you've had a miscarriage and there's been no explanation as to why, this could be one of the things. Current studies indicate that the odds of a fetus with HPE surviving to birth is 3%, and majority of those that do survive may live less than 6 months. However, we just had our national HPE conference last month, and there were three individuals there with HPE over the age of 20. There are some living into their 30s that we are aware of, and probably even older than that. The abbreviation for holoprosencephaly is HPE, and a lot of people use that because it's a lot easier to say. But it's a little ironic that his initials are HPE because the medical community doesn't give much hope with a diagnosis like this. So it's up to us to turn that HPE into HOPE, which is why you'll see in our Families for Hope name, the H, the P, and the E are capitalized, and the O is little. because that's what we inserted as parents.
Now, we – go ahead. No, absolutely, go ahead.
Sure. I've got a lot to say, you know.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. Take your time. Absolutely.
And the condition can range from mild to severe. Kids who are born with it can have conditions such as mental retardation, cerebral palsy, epilepsy. Some of the kids are maybe born with a cleft lip, cleft palate. They have movement issues, maybe hydrocephalus and things like that. Basically, there's no cure or even a standard course of treatment. It's mostly just treated based upon their symptoms and then doing things that are supportive for that child. You know, so we just kind of, you know, take it day by day, basically. In 2006, Families for Hope, which is a nonprofit organization, was formed by a group of parents, and I was one of those parents. And our organization serves families and children who have HPE all around the globe. Our mission is to support, educate, and encourage families and raise awareness for the condition. I mentioned our national conference earlier. Families for Hope collaborate on this and other projects with the National Institutes of Health, the Carter Centers in Dallas, Texas, who are the leading researchers and clinicians in the study and treatment of HPE. But Families for Hope is the organization that helps families learn and cope with the daily lives, daily needs of their children. And then to go back a little bit to my son. My son was born, and like most kids that I've met with HPE, my son Sammy, he didn't read the medical textbooks or listen to the predictions. And with only a 3% chance of surviving to birth, there's something to be said for will and determination. And I think Sammy was determined to prove as many people wrong as he possibly could. And that's what he did. We knew that we might not have a single day or moment with him, so we knew that we needed to treasure those moments, celebrate every day with him, and we did that for nearly 5 years of his life. Sammy had a bucket list, and it wasn't enough for Sammy to just survive. We wanted him to live, and that's what we did. Getting into the racing portion, one of the items on the bucket list that I didn't add but someone else did, was to see Josh Timmerman race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Josh Timmerman's a driver who races for us, for Families for Hope. And and basically that item was added to the bucket list by Josh's mom, Debbie. And Debbie was one of Sammy's nurses. She came into our home and helped us out with Sammy. When Sammy turned 3, he started preschool, and Debbie went with him to preschool to assist him. She rode the bus with him. She was there to make sure he had his medications and do the different things that needed to be done in his special classroom. And so Debbie had said, you know, Sammy, he wants to go to the racetrack. You know, and Sammy couldn't walk or talk or anything like that and really probably didn't have any idea what a racetrack would be like. And I was being a typical mom and scared of it. And so I was like, I don't think he can do that. And she talked us into it, and Sammy loved the racetrack. He liked the cars going by and all of that. And so it was one of the most special things that we ever did with him. And it was you know, where this nurse tried to get me out of my comfort zone. And we did. And since that time, we've had this relationship with Josh Timmerman, who races here here in Indiana, locally at various tracks. We've also, in the 6 years we've been in existence, we've had a Grand Am Continental Tire Series road racer named Kyle Gempel. Kyle has been on your show. And, he's out of Nevada, and he was here just last month for the inaugural Grand Am road race there, finished 5th, which we were really excited about. He had a cousin born with HPE. And, you know, as a child, they spent a lot of time together. And now that he's grown, he wants to help raise awareness for other kids like his cousin, Leslie. And so he's joined up with us. We've got a dad, HPE dad up in Wisconsin, who's an off-road racer. He races with Families for Hope And in addition, this summer we have two different siblings for just two different families who are putting together race cars so that they can go out there and enjoy some racing, but also just help us raise more awareness for their brothers and things like that. So.
Well, we first met you, we first got associated with you through Josh Timmerman, and we had an opportunity to come out there and watch Josh race and meet you. So tell me, I mean, I know you've got a lot going on with Josh. Obviously, Josh is going to be racing here at Lucas Oil coming up on September 30th.
Yeah.
Certainly we're hoping to get together with you to do some awareness on that weekend. But your connection to the racing community is pretty tight. Your husband's pretty involved in the local racing community as a chaplain as well. And your faith has helped you out a lot on this. Tell me a little bit about how the racing community combined with your faith has really just helped you bring a lot of awareness to families for hope.
Thank you.
Apologize for that. Tell us a little bit about what we can do as listeners. Come out and attend the races and root on the number 9 car, Josh Timmerman. But up and above that, what kind of things would you like for our listeners to do for you?
Well, I think just to first go back to the racing community, the racing community is so generous, such good people in the racing world, whether they're fans or drivers or crew and things like that. And when we first started Families for Hope on the first conferences we had was here in Indianapolis, and we wanted to be, say welcome to Indy, and what does Indy better than racing? And so we kind of went with the racing theme, and we got in touch with the Tony Stewart Foundation, and we asked if they might be interested in being a sponsor for our conference. And this was before Tony won his first Sprint Cup championship. So they immediately said, yeah, we'd like to help you. And so they came on board with that. And we've kind of kept that relationship going over the years. And then last year, Tony's foundation had a project where they did, they had 300 applications that were submitted for a special grant program, and they narrowed it down to 75. And then of the 75, they picked 40 organizations to support for 2012. And Families for Hope was one of those organizations. So we were really excited about that. And we're hoping to continue to do more things related to the Tony Stewart Foundation.
Sure.
We've also, we've had Scott Pruitt has been here recently, Grandiam driver
sure.
as well. And he, has donated books and different things for our families that, he's written children's books and all of that. And so we just, we've had some things we've done, donations we've gotten through Hendrick Motorsports and various things. And so the racing community has been wonderful to us. As far as my faith and things, after our son passed, Josh Timmerman and his family said to us, why don't you come racing with us? And so we did. And that's kind of how we spent our summer that year after Sammy had passed. We kind of grieved and mourned at the racetrack in a way because we just hung out with their family, and they just kind of brought us in and adopted us into their own. And we had the freedom to talk about Sammy anytime we wanted to. They talked about him. They did different little things just in tribute to him that whole season. And it was very therapeutic for us. And, you go to the racetrack and you kind of, the everyday stresses of life, you can kind of put out of your mind for a little while. You're watching them out there on the track, and your adrenaline's up, and it was a very good way for us to take our mind off things just for a short period of time, every
sure.
week or so. And so we got involved with this organization called On Track Ministries, and On Track Ministries travels with the ARCA CRA series of racing. And so we are you know, down with the drivers and their teams and their families.
Mm-hmm.
We hang out in the pits with them. We pray with the drivers before they go onto the racetrack if they want us to. You know, we're right there with them. And, you know, I know what it's like to be nervous and worried about my child and how do I protect them. And so I think some of the moms of the drivers and I, you know, we at least have that in common in that, you know, I know that fear
sure.
that they're being scared and things like that. And so we just kind of can bond over some of those things. And so that faith has really just brought everything like full circle, and it's really nice. As far as the listeners go, you know, we would love, you know, if people want to go out and check out our website, it's familiesforhope.org. We are also on Twitter, Facebook. We're doing the social media circuit. And I know that you are going to have a link to our website as well on your site. You tweet about us and retweet us all the time, and we love that. I can tell you we do have an awareness event coming up on September 8th. Josh and the 09 race car will be at Prime Car Wash for their grand opening in Noblesville at 146th Street, State Road 13. So that's September 8th. And anyone who comes out, if you come through and you go to the car wash and you tell them that you're a fan of Josh Timmerman or Families for Hope, you get a free car wash on that day.
Well, we'll certainly push that, and I think we're going to actually try to come out there as well. Well,
yes.
You know, we've been talking with Leslie Harley, and Leslie, I appreciate the time that you gave us out at the racetrack last Saturday and giving us the VIP treatment and getting us down there and getting a chance to meet the driver of the number 9 car and talk with him, Josh
yeah.
Timmerman. And I appreciate all that you do for us, and we're here to help you. Real quickly, final thoughts, where can people find you on their website, social media and so forth? How can people find you?
Well, I guess I'm where our website is familiesforhope.org. You can find us there. You can follow us on Twitter at familiesforhope. And like I said, we're also on Facebook. We do have our fall fundraiser going on right now where we have various apparel and merchandise that have information about the Families for Hope logo or a shirt that says Ask Me About Hope. And it will help generate conversations and things, hopefully, to just spread awareness. And so if anybody would be interested in those items, they're on our website as well.
All right, Leslie, we appreciate you taking time with us today.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Where's Josh racing out this weekend?
Josh will be at Winchester Speedway tomorrow, Sunday. 1:30 p.m. is on-track autograph session. And then racing begins at 2:30. So tomorrow, Winchester Speedway, 1:30-ish.
Okay. All right. Leslie Harley for Families for Hope. What a great guest. I tell you what, my producer and myself had a chance to go down there last Saturday out to the Anderson Speedway, had an opportunity to meet Josh Timmerman and all they're about and hang out with the people from Families for Hope. And I tell you what a great organization. Check them out and do what you can do to support them. We'll be right back, guys. I tell you what, one of our favorite guests and friends of the show. We're running a little bit behind today, guys. I know that, but we're going to catch up here in just a moment. I think what we're going to do, guys, for you back there in the back room there, we're just going to back up some bumper music and go right into Ed here so we can catch up on some time. And we'll catch up on all the spots, I promise, before to the end of the show, guys. Stand by. We'll be right back here with Ed Kratz. We're going to be talking about, well, it's preseason, guys. Philadelphia Eagles, of course. right, my minions, welcome back. It is football time. We finally get to talk about some football. That's right, guys. We are going to be doing this every week, hopefully, around the league in 30 minutes. This 30 minutes, we're going to be talking with Ed Kratz of the Philadelphia Eagles. And then coming up at 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Jeff Curtis of Bear Claws. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Chicago Bears. And, guys, I know the Colts, yes, against the Steelers. We will get into that here a little bit later on in the hour. So we will never forget the Colts yet. You have my promise. But joining us now, Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, great friend of the show. Good to have you on board for something positive for a change, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Tom. Great to be back. Nice to hear your voice again.
But, good to hear yours. How was your trip to Miami? I heard you had a nice little weekend trip down there.
Just a little getaway, you know, try to recharge the batteries a little bit before the, the brunt of the season hits. And it was nice. You know, it's always always a great time down there. It's a little bit of a different town these days. A lot of nightlife that, you know, I don't stay out too late these days, but it's nice to just get out and watch some different people that aren't wearing football pads, you know.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, one thing I want to get out of the way, because I said this was going to be a positive, uplifting conversation, but obviously Philadelphia Eagles, we've got to talk about the passing of Reed's son. And I guess I just want you real quickly, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but just kind of talk with us a little bit about what happened there. And I know with Andy Reid's son, and I know that Michael Vick has dedicated his entire season to the passing of Andy Reid's son. Obviously, Tony Dungy's reached out to him as well, been in that very same situation. What happened there? What are some of the things that you could tell us from the local perspective?
Well, yeah, Garrett Reed was working in the strength and conditioning department of the Eagles. You know, Andy had gotten him a job there. He's had a drug addiction for the past 8 years. He's been in and out of prison and even got into some trouble in prison for trying to smuggle heroin in while he was in. So, you know, he had a very heavy addiction. And by all accounts, he was doing his best to turn his life around. But, you know, once you get into the throes of a drug addiction or any addiction for that matter, it's very difficult to come out of. And Garrett Reed was found dead in his dorm room at Lehigh University where the Eagles train in the summer. It was Sunday, August 5th is when it was. About 7:30, he was found unresponsive in his room. And a couple days later, Andy Reed made a statement that said he had lost his battle with his eight-year addiction to drugs. So not really saying that that's what killed him. That pretty much indicated that's what killed him was the drugs. He'd lost that battle. Whether or not it was a self-inflicted overdose or an accidental overdose, I'm not sure we'll ever know. The coroner's report has not come out. There have been a lot of rumors that have gone with the death, none of which I'd be comfortable mentioning. But, I have an idea of kind of what happened. But, again, it's just rumor and innuendo at this point until the coroner's report comes out. To Andy Reid's credit, he came back to practice the day after the funeral, which, you know, he's taken a little bit of criticism for. But, you know, life as an NFL head coach, you're going to take criticism no matter what you do. Had he stayed away for a week to be with his family, he would have taken criticism for that. But, I give him credit for coming back the next day to practice. 2 days later, he was on the sideline when the Eagles played the Pittsburgh Steelers in the preseason. And, he's been a rock. You know, I'm not saying he hasn't had his rough moments. I'm sure it's been difficult for him, but I think it was important for him to return to normalcy as quickly as possible. I know Bill Parcells in 2005 had his brother pass away from brain cancer. They had a burial on a Monday in Short Hills, New Jersey, and he was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys at the time, and he drove the 90 minutes down to Philadelphia. They had a Monday night football game, Cowboys-Eagles. And, he made that drive, and he was on the sideline that night after burying a brother that was very close to him. And he said at the time that, you know, there's really not much anybody can say. He just wanted to get back to doing what his life called him to do, and that made him feel normal again. And I think, you know, Andy Reid, same thing. You know, he likes to be out there. He likes the regimen of practice. He likes being around his players. The night they played the Steelers, on that Thursday night preseason game, Michael Vick stood next to him as the national anthem played. He has dedicated the season to Andy, as many players have. Michael has just gotten more of the publicity because he is Michael Vick. But, you know, the whole team, frankly, has rallied around this. To what end? We'll see. You know,
three, 4 months from now how it turns out. But I know they're honoring Garrett Reed with decals on their helmets. And, you know, Andy is just trying to do his best to coach his way through this. And he really has. You know, it's only been only the last couple of days, to be honest with you, that things have felt kind of normal again around the facility where they train in Philadelphia. You know, as far as players go and, you know, a little bit more easygoing attitude. So, you know, the more time passes, you know, the more things do get back to normal. But, you know, you lose a kid, you bury a child. That's a horrible thing, and I don't think you ever really get over that. But, you know, Andy's doing his best job to put his best foot forward, and I think he's doing that.
Well, you know, I tell you what, this is an exciting time of year, and I always like to lash back at those guys and say, it's only preseason, it doesn't mean anything. Well, it doesn't mean anything unless you're the team and you're trying to cut your roster, you're trying to trim fat, or you're the guy trying to get yourself on tape so that somebody sees you, that somebody else can pick you up, or that you're trying to earn a spot for a practice squad. So it does mean something. Maybe it doesn't mean a lot as far as record goes, and maybe a lot of fans aren't big fans of the preseason. But let's break down camp there in the Philadelphia Eagles camp. Obviously, you know, they've had a lot of work to do on a lot of different things and getting ready for the Patriots coming up. I think I'm not that impressed with what I've seen with the Eagles so far. Obviously, again, use that word, it is just preseason. But the New England Patriots, in my opinion, are showing that, hey, guys, yeah, you're going to have to deal with us all year long. Granted, you guys are in the NFC, they are in the AFC. But tell us a little bit about what's been going on in camp and how they're preparing for the upcoming Patriot game.
Yeah, well, the Patriots game is Monday night. It's on the Monday Night Football. ESPN is broadcasting it. And the Eagles are playing it like it's their third preseason game, which means typically the third preseason game is where you play your starters at least a half and into the third quarter. But because the Eagles play Monday against the Patriots and turn around 4 days later and go to Cleveland to play the Browns, and then they play the Browns 2 weeks later in the season opener, the Eagles are approaching Monday night's game as if it's the third preseason, which means guys like Michael Vick, if you're tuned into ESPN, you're going to see him play at least a half. He's hoping to play into the third quarter, as well as all the number ones for the Eagles. Both sides of the ball will play at least a half, and possibly several of them will play into the third quarter. And their game planning this week, they've had the full week to prepare since they've been off since August 9th when they opened with the Steelers. They've had a full week to prepare, so they're approaching it sort of like it's a regular season game. They're actually game planning for what the Patriots do. Typically, you go into these preseason games, you really don't worry too much about the opposition. You worry about your own players. But they've game planned a bit for what the Patriots, what they may see from the Patriots, and what they may do going forward in the season, you know, for the Eagles game plan standpoint. So that's how they're approaching. I think Monday night should be a pretty entertaining game. ESPN's fortunate to have it. I think the country's going to see, you know, a pretty good battle. You know, the Patriots, you say they weren't impressed with the Eagles. The Patriots only won 7-6 in a game they played in their first preseason game. So, I know the Eagles' defense really needs to show more than it did against the Steelers. It looked like a lot of more of the same from last year's difficulty stopping the run. Linebackers a little slow to react. And that being said, the pressure's really on the second-year defensive coordinator, Juan Castillo, who Andy Reid hand-picked to be his defensive coordinator. Juan Castillo was an offensive line coach for 12 years under Reid before making him the defensive coordinator. And that's unprecedented in the NFL to have someone, a position coach from the offensive side of the ball, jump sides of the ball and be elevated to such a high rank of defensive coordinator. So last year the defense looked very unorganized. They got off to a 1-4 start, difficulty stopping the run. I know there's concern in Philadelphia that it looked like more of the same against the Steelers. They had difficulty stopping the run and a hard time getting off the field on third down. So Monday night, there's going to be the two keys. Get off the field on third down and show more on defense, shut down the run. And, you know, Tom Brady and those receivers are going to be a handful, so it'll be a good test. For the Eagles secondary, I should say the Patriots tight ends. They have Gronkowski and Hernandez, who last year took the Patriots to the Super Bowl. So it'll be a good test, and it should be a fun game to watch.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking with Ed Kratz, Culkins Media, in our weekly thing that we're going to be doing here around the league in 30 minutes. Hopefully we can make it around the league because we do have Jeff Kurtz standing by. Bear Claw is going to be talking with us about the Chicago Bears. But real quickly, last question. You're more than welcome to hang around with some of these conversations, Ed. But I want to make sure that you know that we're going to be switching to different teams. So I don't know how you want to do that, but you're more than welcome to hang out. But continuity. You look at Michael Vick. You look at Deshaun Jackson, you look at your secondary. What are some of the things that Andy Reid has been pushing for all of his coach to get continuity? I think that's been something you guys have struggled with, and if I'm off base, I apologize for that. But continuity for the entire team starting here in spring training and moving on into the regular season in a couple of weeks.
Well, I think Andy Reid's looking for what I have just mentioned is let's stop the run. Let's go off the field on third down. And let's not turn the ball over. Turnovers killed this team last year. They were minus 14 in that category. In the opener against the Steelers, Mike Kafka, the backup quarterback to Vic, threw an interception. It was an ugly interception. And then he broke his left hand. So right out of the chute, the Eagles have some quarterback depth issues after Mike Vick. And Mike Vick has not played a full healthy season since he was in Atlanta. I believe it was in 06 or 07. When he went a 16-game schedule without getting hurt. So the number two backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles right now, when you speak of continuity, is a rookie draft pick out of the University of Arizona, Nick Foles. He'll be the second quarterback. He'll be the first quarterback after Vic leaves the field Monday night. And Foles had a pretty impressive debut against the Steelers. He threw a couple touchdown passes. So I think he was just looking for turnover, trying to control the turnover battle, getting off the field on third down, and stopping the run. That's probably what they're looking for. And then they're looking for just, guys to go out and win battles, win jobs, see who stands out, see who has a chance of making this team, like you said earlier.
Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, around the league in 30 minutes. The Philadelphia Eagles right around the corner is the Chicago Bears. Ed, where can people find your work? It sounds like you're in a duck pond there. I don't know if it's just in my ears or what. But
I apologize for that. I'm actually down at the NovaCare Complex here in Philadelphia with the Eagles. They're getting ready to practice, and I would like to hang on, and maybe in future weeks, if you have me back, I will hang on, but they are getting ready to gear up here, so I'm kind of outside of that facility.
All right, fair enough. So where can people find your work and your masterpieces?
Sure. It's www.phillyburbs, one word, .com, and you can put a / Eagles on there. It'll take you right to my stuff. On Twitter, I'm at Kratzy, K-R-A-C-Z-E. So thanks again for having me on, Tom. Great.
All right, buddy. Good luck to you. And you have an open invitation here at The Balance, buddy.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, around the league in 30 minutes, Philadelphia Eagles. Guys, we'll be right back. We are running just a little bit behind, but stick with us. I think we're going to catch up right here in a moment. We're going to take a break. We're going to get back $2 Bill Josh and Jeff Kurtz. We're going to talk a little bit about the Chicago Bears and, of course, a little bit about the Indianapolis Indians and some Colts, and we're just going to have us a conversation. But around the league in 30 minutes continues right now, right when we get right back on The Balance, guys. It's Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us.
I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
J.R. Hildebrand, 220.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance, the number one sports talk show online in the world right here on Blog Talk Radio and our affiliates across the United States. I tell you what, if you can pick up a radio, if you can find a way to find us online or on the radio or on your phones, you know, we're everywhere. And, you know, we're just getting bigger and bigger by the week and by the month. And, you know, every year we love our football talk. We look forward to it and we hate the off season. But we are back. We are, of course, bringing back our Around the League in 30 Minutes. And $2 Bill Josh is joining us as well. He will join us for the rest of the hour. We're going to jump right into Fantasy Football Huddle right after we finish up here with some conversation about the Chicago Bears. But a new guest to The Balance, and we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to talk with us, Mr. Jeff Kurtz. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, I tell you what, it is fantastic to have us. I hear you're the foremost expert on the Chicago Bears.
Well, I follow it pretty closely. I've been a season ticket holder of the Bears for a number of years, and that passion has kind of springboarded into some media platforms as well. So I enjoy talking Bears football anytime.
Well, we're glad to have you on. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears. Obviously, I had an opportunity to watch the Bears last week when Peyton Manning came out and made his debut. Unfortunately, I know it was there at home with the Chicago Bears, and not a very good showing for the Chicago Bears. Obviously, they got their second game coming up here very soon. What are some of the things Lovie Smith is doing at camp to get his team together? And there was no sign of Brian Urlacher in that last game. Should we be concerned about that? Tell us about the overall feel about what's going on with the Chicago Bears.
Well, the big story from Bears camp is really that Brian Urlacher had arthroscopic surgery earlier this week on Tuesday, and he actually has had a couple surgeries since the end of the season. He was injured in the last game of the 2011 regular season against Minnesota, elected to rehab it initially, but he's underwent a couple procedures, and earlier this week had that arthroscopic surgery. He's going to be out. He's aiming for a comeback in the regular season opener against Indianapolis on September the 9th. There's some debate if he can return that quickly. Usually it's anywhere from a 3 to 6 week recovery period, which would put him around week one or week two of the regular season. The interesting thing about it is for the Bears, they have a quick turnaround. They play after the season opener, September 9th. They have a Thursday night date in Green Bay against the Packers. And I think it's going to be a situation that has to be closely monitored all season, how effective he'll be, if he'll be able to return during that time frame. And really, they're just going to have to nurse him. He'll have limited reps in practice throughout the week and really try to minimize the impact and the wear and tear until it comes to games. So that's the headline story. So we won't see him any during the preseason. The best hope is week one against Indianapolis for his return. As far as from last week, I really don't get too hung up on preseason games. The Bears didn't play a lot of regulars. Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Julius Peppers all set out. They are expected to see some action tonight when the Bears host the Washington Redskins at Soldier Field. And I do think that what we can take from tonight's game is that they'll want to develop some rhythm and consistency. Cutler and newcomer Brandon Marshall, who was acquired on the opening day of free agency in a trade with the Miami Dolphins, they'll be looking to hook up and go downfield and develop some rhythm and consistency there. So those are the big things to look for. As far as he's got a veteran team, Lovie Smith, this is the best team he's had in Chicago, even surpassing the Super Bowl team when they played the Colts. This is the best team that he's had. It's a veteran unit. They're trying to get through the preseason relatively unscathed and healthy despite the Urlacher injury. So if they can do that, they've got a pretty solid core on both sides of the unit. I think there is some concern defensively. They have a number of players over the age of 30, how they'll hold up over the grind, and can they really perform at a peak level at least for one more season. It's a very challenging division. The NFC North could potentially have three playoff teams. Green Bay is the odds-on favorite for the division. Detroit is an up-and-coming team that looks to be nearing their peak. And I think that Chicago will be right in there challenging as well.
Well, and also with us is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, who obviously is our co-host during football season and off and on. Josh, are you with us?
I'm here. How are you guys this morning?
Fantastic. Do you have any questions for Jeff, Josh?
Well, Jeff, we were talking about it a little bit earlier at an Indian game earlier this offseason. Caleb Henney's now out in Denver, and he was Jay Cutler's backup. And we all know that Cutler has a tendency to be a little bit of a wimp, I mean, get injured. Who is their backup quarterback in Chicago in the off chance that he does get injured or for whatever other reason? Lovie Smith still needs to pull him from the game.
That's a good question, and they've been searching for a quality backup for a couple years since Jay Cutler arrived on the scene. They signed Jason Campbell, the former Washington Redskin and Oakland Raider quarterback. He actually has a number of quality starts under his belt. Kind of surprised that the Raiders didn't want him back, but they've elected to throw all their eggs in the Carson Palmer basket. So Jason Campbell is the primary backup. He got the snaps last week when Cutler set out the game. And during camp, he's looked pretty sharp. He's experienced. He has a nice arm, good size, good pocket presence. He's kind of the victim of a guy who has played with a number of offensive coordinators and teams throughout his, even digging back to his days at Auburn, his college career, where he had a new offensive coordinator. So this is another new system for him. But and he was injured himself last year. He went down about midway through the season, and the Raiders had to go out and get Palmer at that time. But Jason Campbell will be the primary backup, and I think they feel real good that that's an upgrade at that position and something that they've needed, because with some issues around their offensive line, Cutler has been susceptible. He's been sacked a number of times and hit and pressured a lot of other times. So they do need a quality backup, but they feel pretty good about Jason Campbell with his experience.
Now, speaking of Jay Cutler, obviously he was a little disappointed that he didn't get to play in the last game. Are we thinking that maybe the reason that he didn't get to play was the condition of the field? Maybe they thought he was distracted because his first child had just been born. Did one have anything to do with the other? Or were they just not quite ready to get him on the field, and are we going to see him tonight?
I think you're spot on. The fact that the weather conditions were really atrocious. It had rained there all day. The tarp wasn't taken off until just before game time. And the fact that he also had missed a couple days of practice with the birth of his first child. So I think that mentally they just wanted to give him that break and didn't want to take any chances in the preseason opener. But he should be ready to go. I expect him to play into the second quarter, maybe even the first half tonight.
Well, and we're talking with Jeff Kurtz, I apologize, of Bear Claws. Obviously, BearClaws.com really talks about everything about the Bears, but I know you know a lot about IU and Indiana University. One of our favorite topics around here is IU football. So real quickly, let's talk a little bit about IU going into the football season. I think they're looking better. I like the way they looked last year. What are some of the things you picked up on what's going to happen here with IU going forward here in 2012 and the kind of season that they're going to have to look forward to?
Well, I think the number one question that will be answered, and I think we're starting to see how it's going to play out, is the quarterback position, where Trey Roberson, the Lawrence Central product and former Indiana Mr. Football, has kind of established himself as a starter. He did play the last five games of the regular season, had ups and downs, as you would expect from a true freshman, but looks to have solidified that position. They did bring in a junior college transfer in Chase Kaufman and also a highly touted true freshman, Nathan Sudfeld, from California to compete with him. But Roberson seems to have taken the bull by the horns and looks to be better. I think that Kevin Wilson's preference is to have a balanced offense, but he also wants to throw the ball. That's his pedigree from his days at Oklahoma and at Northwestern. I think he had some concerns if Roberson was tucking it and running with it instead of staying in the pocket and letting the play develop. And I think through the early couple weeks of practice, at least, that he's performed well enough to be given the starter's job. I also think that they'll have a quality running game, which is something that IU has really lacked for the last number of years. The starter is Steven Houston, who came in from the junior college ranks, had a solid year. He's also being pushed by another true freshman, Tevin Coleman, out of Illinois, Chicagoland area, who looks to give them a dimension that they've lacked, and that he's a can get inside, outside, good speed, good vision, break some tackles. And they have some quality depth as well with D'Angelo Roberts, the Bloomington product, also returning. So quality depth at the running back position. The offensive line is a year more experienced. I really like their center, Will Mackey. I think that he could be considered even potential All-Big Ten candidate. Defensively, that's kind of the bugaboo for IU football, and it has been since time existed, really. They've never been able to stop consistently the opposing offense. I do like a couple members of their defensive line, defensive tackles, Larry Black Jr. and Adam Rapogal. I think that they are potential NFL draft picks next spring. I think Kevin Wilson has been a little bit disappointed with their play through the early portion of preseason camp. He says that those guys need to dominate rather than just be good starters. So keep an eye on that. They've brought an influx of junior college players into the defensive system, and especially at linebacker. Look for a couple of those guys to play. I think if they get pressure up front and can kind of anchor that position, that their defensive secondary, which looks to be a little bit of a liability, can take some pressure off those guys. But key to IU, running the ball so that teams can't stack the line against them in passing situations and really force them to throw, and also being able to stop the run from a defensive standpoint. The talent level has been upgraded. Wilson's kind of a no-nonsense guy. He has run off, or maybe a better way of saying it, he's kind of thinned out the ranks there of people that didn't meet his standards from a program standpoint, and is really trying to bring in a certain type of player that fits his mold and what he wants to do on both sides of the ball. So I think IU will be improved. I don't know if we'll see it in the record so much. I think they could push anywhere from 4 to 6 wins if everything went well and they got a couple of breaks. But I think he's building on something there. And I think the key, as anybody knows who follows college sports, is recruiting. Are you getting that talent? Indiana is behind other states in terms of the football players they produce, but the quality players in the state are still going elsewhere. And I think that the real turnaround for the Hoosiers will take place when we get some of those highly committed high school athletes to attend IU, and then that creates a momentum. I am encouraged by they got a commitment from Ben Davis safety, Antonio Allen, hard-hitting safety who has speed and will really deliver the wood. I'm excited for his pledge. I think that's probably one of the higher recruited players that they've been able to attend. He rescinded his original commitment to Mississippi, wanted to stay closer to home. So that's a good catch for IU, and hopefully that will kind of open the floodgates for the future.
All right, Jeff Kurtz. Hey, Jeff, can you stick around with us? We're going to jump right into some fantasy football talk and some talk about the Indianapolis Colts for the next half hour. Can you stay with us, or do you need to go?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. My minions, stand by. The best part of the whole show has arrived. The BAMF Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle is right around the corner. $2 Bill Josh is with us, Jeff Kurtz, as well as Super Colts fan Brian Jenkins. He's with us, and we'll just call him Super Colts fan Sparky. He'll be right here with us. Yeah, talking with us a little bit about Andrew Luck, the Indianapolis Colts. Some fantasy football, and all he likes to talk about is Andrew Luck. We'll be right back, guys.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. a distributor for all major suppliers. We can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Just when you think the party's over.
There's nothing stopping this one, man.
We're just getting started. WROM Radio. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance, the number one internet sports talk show on Saturday morning in the world. And I tell you what, it is great to have the BAMF Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle back with us. BAMF Magazine, guys, check them out. Well, if you're a girl, too, that's pretty cool. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're a guy, you're going to really like it. All I'm going to tell you what is if you like Maxim Magazine, if you like Playboy, if you like all those, BAMFMagazine.com is for you. Check it out, and we're going to be doing a lot of promotions with them throughout fantasy football because why? They've got the fantasy girls right there for you. Fantasy football huddle only goes with Banff Magazine. It's the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle, and joining us right now is $2 Bill Josh, Jeff Kurtz, and Sparky, super Colts fan. Also, name is a.k.a. Brian Jenkins, but it really matter because he's Sparky as far as we know. So we're going to start with you, Brian. We're going to start, guys, with just a little briefly Colts talk. We'll talk a little bit about the Steelers. We'll dive right into our buy, sell, or trade for this week because we were really running behind the eight ball. Want to thank our guests at the top of the hour. How about those kids from Newcastle, Indiana? Team manager Tim Porter joined us to talk with us about the team out there in Williamsport. Also, Leslie Harley from Families of Hope and what the Tony Stewart Foundation and what they're doing with racing and their connection with racing. Ed Kratz of the Calkins Media, Philadelphia Eagles beat writer, and also of Bear Claws, Jeff Kurtz, breaking down the Chicago Bears for us. All right, guys, we saw a fantastic game, the Colts against the Rams. Yes, it was the Rams. Yes, it was preseason, but it was good to see them to get a good win underneath their belt. It was good to see, even though Donald Brown is the one should get credit for this. I mean, it was just a dump pass from Andrew Luck, but you know what? It was good to see our quarterback create a winning run. We'll start with you, Brian. What are your thoughts? Yeah, baby, yeah.
First of all, I'm going to sad sack you because you always screw up my name. You think after about a year you get it right, but no wonder why people can't find me on Facebook. It's Jensen, not Jenkins. But
you know why? Because you
anyway,
know why? There's another guy in our fantasy league whose name is actually Jenkins, I think. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, man, I thought that game was just great. I mean, yeah, the first play, that's more, you know, Brown's doing than anyone else's, but that, you know, Andrew Luck, all of his passes looked right on target. You know, the defense could look good. Yeah, it was against the St. Louis Rams, and you know, half the game was second string, third string, whatever. But I mean, it's just great to look at a new team and see, you know, new faces out there and see that we're doing good and we, you know, we could go somewhere. I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we made it into the playoffs this year, you know, or at least 8-8. You know, I mean, that's how many times have you seen in the last, you know, 13, 14, I mean, you can even go farther back than that. 13, 14, 15, 16 years, have you seen a quarterback in blue and white scramble and throw? I mean, it's just, you know, running around and everything and, making good passes while he's running. I mean, Peyton was not known for that. It's just weird seeing that and having a fullback in the backfield, in some plays, just like, am I watching the right channel here? You know, it's different. It's crazy. I like it. I like where they're going, and I think we're going to have a good year.
All right, Jeff, what are your thoughts? The Rams and Colts, it was just the Rams. It was preseason, but it was a good win for the Colts, and at least, if nothing else, a good momentum builder for the fans.
I couldn't say it better than that. I think you're looking for intangibles. Luck kept these poised. He looked sharp and confident. You're looking to start some new momentum, as you mentioned, with the new coaching staff and really whole new program. So from that standpoint, you see how he reacts on the field. And I think that high water marks all around. Now, it can only go in some ways down from there. I think that the competition will get a lot stiffer. I think that you'll see some opposing looks from defenses. They're usually very vanilla in the preseason. But from a Colts fan standpoint, you have to be optimistic and like what you see thus far.
All right, Mr. $2 Bill. Josh, I know you've been dying all week long to give us your $2 commentary on the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck. What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought Andrew Luck looked really, really good, but he had a great game. He had two touchdowns, but I thought the Colts identified five-star players who are all young guys. Gary Hughes looks to have found his game. Donald Brown had better be real careful, or Vic Ballard's going to take that running back spot. Someone faster than Brown can blink. I thought Helton looked good, Rizzo looked good, and I thought Mawala looked really good. So all in all, I'm pretty impressed, and I'm going to go ahead and predict they carve up the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow night in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers want to make a showing, if nothing else, to Andrew Luck. And they want to get guys out there to make some good hits. I'm not saying that there's a bounty out there because I'm sure there's not. It's too early in the season. We'll get into that later on, guys. But we do want to talk about what Chuck Pagano's doing. Obviously, different team for him. As we know about him with the Baltimore Ravens, a very spirited guy on the sidelines, one that, is a little bit more animated, if you will, than what we're used to with Tony Dungy and Jim Caldwell. We'll start with you, Jeff, and we'll move around the table here. Pagano, are we liking how he's performed in camp, and what do you think he's got to do to prepare the Colts for the Steelers? But most importantly, is Chuck Pagano the right guy for the Colts this year?
Well, I think the old sports adage and cliche, time will tell, is the answer to your last question as far as is he the right guy. Obviously, the general manager Ryan Grigson and Jim Irsay thought from an interview standpoint they were looking to change the mindset, the culture around the team, and really infuse some new energy and enthusiasm, and I think he's done that very well. Apologize for the noise here, guys.
That's okay.
Saturday morning.
I understand, buddy. I really do. No worries.
But I think that's really what you're trying to see is change kind of the mindset and infuse your message onto a group of young men, bring in some new players through the draft and free agency, and really try to sell what his vision is. And it's based on defensive principles and being solid from that side of the ball fundamentally, and then trying to upgrade an offense that really lacked some firepower and weapons last year. So I think I give him high marks and really setting the tone. I know at camp at Anderson University that they've run very fast-paced, crisp practice sessions, and he's a big believer on discipline and just being fundamentally sound. So I think that he needs an opportunity to kind of put his stamp on the program. It's going to be different than it was before, but change probably was what was needed.
All right, Sparky, what are your thoughts, Chuck Pagano, and getting ready for the Steelers, and overall, what are your thoughts with the Colts this year, and what's going on with them?
Yeah, I thought it was a great pickup for all the Colts, and hiring someone that's defensive minded. I mean, the guy has had success in Baltimore, and just having a defensive minded coach is. It's just great because, how many years in the past have we really had a real solid defense? And I believe that, with the moving around of Freeney and, bringing in now my mind's going black, the guy on the other end that plays Freeney, bringing him in and just moving people around, it's kind of makes you think, what in the world is this guy doing? Why is he doing that? But, he obviously sees something that, that we don't, being fans and being out there. And, I think it's just really exciting how, what he's doing with the team, just changing, pretty much changing a lot of the things around with the team that we just never seen before. And, it's just, I love the way he's going. And, going against the Steelers, this is preseason, so you can't really expect much. It was fun to watch, us demolish the Rams, but I don't think it's going to be that case against the Steelers, but you never know. The Steelers could put in their second string in the first quarter and be done.
Josh, $2 bill. Josh, what are your thoughts on Chuck Pagano in the upcoming game against the Steelers?
Well, I think it's neat to see the defense transition. I think Freeney and Mathis look good at outside linebacker. And I thought Jerry Hughes looked pretty good. Steelers are without their top three running backs, as Mendenhall was taken off the pup list, but he won't play tomorrow. Isaac Redman won't play tomorrow, so none of the running backs who are going to play tomorrow have actually carried the ball in an NFL game. But, super fan, I have a question for you. As a fellow season ticket holder, I don't know if you got to come to the Colts game or not, but I have a message to the rest of the Colts fans, and I'm curious if you would agree with me. Show up at the game and quit freaking leaving at halftime. Whether it's preseason, the Colts are down by 20. Stay till the fourth quarter goes over. I thought it was an absolute embarrassment. The stadium is only half full. And then 90% of the fans who did come started to leave at halftime. What are your thoughts, Superfan?
I don't get to go to preseason games because of my job that I have at this time of the year. But, even last year, all the games we lost at home, I stayed down to the clock hit zero. I didn't care how much of a margin it was. Stay. You paid for the seats, first of all. If you're not going to use them, don't bother going. Don't bother buying the seats. That drives me nuts. People leaving, early and stuff, thinking, oh, it's done. The game's over. We got a huge lead. They got a huge lead. We ain't coming back. They ain't coming back. I hate that. If you're a fan, you need to stay. And that's it. I cannot. That drives me nuts. That absolutely drives me nuts.
All right, guys. Well, real quickly, what we're going to do is we're just going to get your opinions on what the Colts have to do. I think that Luck brings a lot of optimism to the new and fresh Colts, and I'm excited to see what's going on with them. But at the same time, I think that Pittsburgh struggled a little bit. They're still trying to figure out their offensive line. So here's my thing. I think that the Colts will win. I don't think it's going to be as big of a knockout like they did to the Rams, but I think the Colts will win. We'll start with you, Jeff Kurtz. What does the Colts have to do to beat the Steelers on Sunday night?
I think they have to have maximum protection for Andrew Luck. I think that the Pittsburgh defense will bring an array of pressure blitzes, and I'm really interested to see how they hold up offensive line-wise. I also am curious from a defensive perspective, second game with the new alignment, from a 3-4 perspective, will they be able to exert some pressure on Ben Roethlisberger and whoever else plays quarterback after he exits? So interested to see the development from Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney from a 3-4 rush standpoint.
All right, Josh, what do they have to do to beat the Steelers?
they got to be able to run the ball as they ran the ball really well last week. Andrew Luck has to continue to look sharp. I want to see if Harnish can challenge Stanton for the backup spot, and the defense needs to continue to stand firm.
All right, Brian, where are we at with you?
I think they need to start strong and just, you know, take, you know, if they're going to take the game, I mean, you have to have the lead going into halftime and just, you know, finish strong.
All right, guys, we're going to jump right into our fantasy football huddle. And those, i.e. Jeff and Brian, to remind you of the rules, buy, sell, or trade, I get to develop the list. And you guys, and really, guys, I always emphasize this every week in fantasy football. And I always get, as we move on into the league there, we always get these calls. Well, I got a really weird league with a really weird situation, and I tried your advice. It didn't work. Well, here's the thing. What I am going to tell you is you still have to do your own homework. Even though I know everything there is to know about fantasy football, I am your guy, your go-to guy. I will tell you, you still got to do your own homework and your own research. So what we do here, guys, is buy, sell, trade. It's very, very simple. Buy, you pick them up, you keep them on your team as we prepare for the draft. Which, by the way, guys, if you guys did not know, the Balanced League Fantasy Draft Night will be next Saturday night, the 25th, at BW3's in Avon. So come on out and draft with us, have some brews with us, and just have a good time hanging out talking about football. Trade, buy, sell, or trade. Sell, it means, hey, steer clear with them. I wouldn't pick them up with a 10-foot pole. Not on my list, not on my radar. Trade, basically, you're picking them up as trade bait to use, obviously, for trade purposes. So what we want to do is we kind of want to dive into some of the key positions. And I think that most of it – and are you much of a fantasy player, Jeff?
Not really, to be honest with you.
Okay, well then we'll just no, I'm just kidding. We'll still take your thoughts. Now here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to each week we're going to kind of try to get as many positions in as we can, and we'll pick up the following week. So obviously going into what we'll say next week is our draft, and I know that different people have different drafts coming up, but the concept is very simple, is you draft a team, and how they perform on the field is how you score in a head-to-head matchup between somebody else in your league. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the quarterbacks, and some of the I've talked about this before, so I'm just not going to put him back on my list. I don't think Andrew Luck, as great and as much hype as he is, I don't think he's somebody you need to have on your scope for a fantasy football team. That does not mean that he's not going to be a good quarterback, and that doesn't mean that I'm bouncing and hating on Luck. It just simply means that if you're going to pick up a quarterback, I wouldn't make Luck in your first round. Now, a lot of people pick up running backs or wide receivers in the first rounds or quarterback. So we'll start with the quarterback position, and whether or not that is somebody you would draft in the first round or not, well, let's just assume for conversation purposes that it is. Buy, sell, or trade, and we'll start with you, Josh, and we'll move around the table here. Josh, Robert Griffin III, a.k.a. RG3, Heisman Trophy winner, who I personally thought the Colts should have drafted. RG3, buy, sell, or trade?
I'm going to sell at the moment. I don't think he's ready to be a fantasy quarterback.
All right. Jeff, buy, sell, or trade on RG3?
I say buy, and the reason why is because I think he's going to be the starter there. He's going to have a lot of opportunities. He's a dual threat. He can make plays either with his legs or with his arm, and I think they're going to ride him throughout the year, so I think he'll have a lot of opportunities. That's a team that is kind of under the radar, but could surprise some folks in Mike Shanahan's second season. So I say bye.
You know, and I couldn't agree with you anymore. That's my pick. I would definitely buy RG3. Sparky.
I would say bye, but, I mean, I wouldn't take him the first round. I think, you know, like you said, he's a dual threat. I think he's going to get, you know, he's going to score a lot of points, but, you know, that team, you know, it's a young team, and, you know, maybe a first rounder for next year, but not this year.
All right, guys, the next guy on my list here is a guy I really like out there in Tennessee. I will tell you, though, I'm going to pick him up for trade bait and trade bait only. Jake Locker. Locker was obviously selected in the 8th overall pick of 2011 as the Titans became enamored with the big arm and mobility of this University of Washington alum. And I think he's got some good points. I'd pick him up to trade him. Obviously, I'm concerned about his accuracy. And again, they haven't even decided that Jake is going to be the quarterback out there. They're still trying to decide that. So I would either sell or trade, but certainly he would be someone good to have on your team for trade bait. Jeff, what are your thoughts on Jake Locker?
I like his physical tools, but I would sell because I'm not sure that he will be the starter. I think it could be a yo-yo situation between him and Matthew Hasselbeck in Tennessee. And I also think that he's very inconsistent, and that's probably one of the reasons that they're not sold on him as a starter. So I sell.
All right, Josh?
I would also sell. I'm just not sold on him yet.
Brian?
I would sell only for the fact that you don't know if he's going to be starting or not, but I'm completely sold on this guy. I don't understand why they don't start him.
All right, guys, next on my list, Mr. Matt Schaub of Houston. You know, when Matt Schaub is on the field, he tends to do very well for fantasy owners. I like him. I'd pick him up. I'd buy him. The problem, though, that Schaub has is that he tends to spend, in my opinion, too much time watching as he does playing, and he's prone to injury. That's why I wouldn't pick up Michael Vick. But at the same time, he's great to have on your team for a bye week because when he is on, if you can catch him in one of those times when he's doing well, he's either doing well or he's really doing bad. And you know, last year he only made it through 9 games. Obviously, Haynesworth, came in week 10. And so, the rest is history from that point. So we'll start with you, Sparky. Buy, sell, or trade Matt Schaub from Houston.
I'd sell. This guy, it's like Michael Vick. I mean, you don't know how long, you're going to get him for. You don't know if you're going to get him for 1 week, 9 weeks. And it's not, but I guarantee you it's not going to be the entire season. So I would sell. Stay away from him.
Josh?
I would trade.
Okay. Jeff?
I buy, but cautiously. And the reason why is I think Houston scores a lot of points. They will have a lot of opportunities. I am concerned about his health, that he seems to be injury prone, but I cautiously buy because I look at the upside and he can be very good.
All right, guys, I want to get into it. And you know what? Luck, I wouldn't pick. You guys can make your own decisions on Andrew Luck. I certainly wouldn't pick him this year. If you have a keeper team, certainly maybe if some keeper teams don't let you pick rookies, especially rookies like Luck, if they're not going to play, but Luck is going to play, so it would probably fit in any rules. But I would pick him up in the keeper-type situation because I certainly think next year will be where we see Luck become the replacement to Peyton Manning, and this year wouldn't be that. So we move over to running backs, and we'll start over there at the Chargers, Curtis Brinkley. It appeared that Brinkley is getting his chance to be a solid backup. Then Ronnie Benton Brown arrived, and you look at situations where you've got some split options there, and Brinkley will probably lose a lot of bit of work. And, there again, as long as Brown stays healthy, that can be a split option, which is good for a team like San Diego. But for fantasy owners, I steer clear of them. So I sell Curtis Brinkley. I wouldn't approach him. We'll start with you, Jeff.
Yeah, I sell too as well. I just don't think that there's a number of options for the Chargers, and Ryan Matthews will come back at some point in time as well. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they add a veteran running back here between now and the regular season. So I think his opportunities could be limited. So I sell.
All right, Josh?
I think I agree with Jeff. His opportunities are going to be limited, so I would sell, but I do like him as a backup.
All right, Sparky.
Yeah, I agree. I would sell him, as a backup. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think we all in agreement, guys. I really would not pick up Curtis Brinkley unless you're just in a backup situation where you need a backup quarterback for a bye week situation. Moving over to the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning obviously got to have some targets. He's got to have we know how much he likes to run, play the run play. I don't see that changing much over there in Denver. So the running backs are going to get some good time and some good work. And now, who will be the favorite target to Peyton Manning? Nobody really knows. But I tell you one thing that I do like is I like Ronnie Hillman. Hillman he's also prone to injury. Obviously, we know right now he's nursing a hamstring injury, and I suspect that we'll see Hillman in some of the preseason progress of games. And I think that he was drafted to provide the passing and pass catching threat out in the backfield. And obviously, that's something that would be a good option for fantasy owners with Peyton Manning at the helm, provided that he's healthy. So I say buy with caution, but Ronnie Hillman could be a very good sleeper option for you. We'll start with you, Josh.
I do think he could be a very good sleeper option, so I would buy him, but not till late.
Jeff.
Yeah, I'd buy late. He can be very dynamic. I think he'll see a lot of time as a third down specialist in certain opportunities and distance situations. So I'd buy as well down the line.
Sparky.
Yeah, I would also buy it as well down the line. I don't really know much about the guy, but I would take him.
All right, we move on around the league here, and I tell you what, I was really extremely impressed with the Detroit Lions last year. I think they're really starting to get their act together. I think that you need to take a second look at the players with the Detroit Lions, and one of those players that I like is Mike LaShour. Detroit's potent offense is worthy of, like I just said, of a very close reexamination. They're not the Detroit Lions of a few years ago. They are the Detroit Lions that actually has an opportunity to win on Thanksgiving Day now. And you got a guy who has a threat potential. And the thing about it is, though, with LaShour, is this goes for those guys. If you're a very conservative picker in draft, maybe he's not the guy for you. We know he's got issues on and off the field. Obviously, he likes the wacky tobacco Jamaican cigarettes, if you will. So he's facing a 2-game suspension for his extracurricular enjoyment. But when he's on the field and he's not too relaxed to play, I like Mike LaShour. Mikael LaShour. I'm sorry. So I pick him with very much caution. But certainly, if you're looking for a strong threat in your running back position, as long as he can be on the field, he provides a threat. So what do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I like him. He's returning from a knee injury that knocked him out in 2011. So I think he offers some opportunities. The Lions are going to be a high-scoring team. He's going to get the ball in a lot of situations down near the goal line. I would not make him I think you're right when you say if you pick conservatively, he's probably not your guy. But if you want somebody a little bit under the radar, they're going to hand the ball off to LaShour plenty of times.
All right, Josh.
I would definitely buy LaShour, especially with Jahvid Best's career being over. At least all indications are it's over.
Okay, Sparky.
I would probably sell. I mean, you never know what kind of, how he's going to come back from that knee injury. And, if you could maybe pick him up later down the line, maybe. But, I mean, I would sell. I wouldn't do it.
All right, guys. Here's the next player I like. I think he's a very favorite among fantasy players. He could score you a lot of points. We'll probably get a chance to see him Sunday night against the Colts. Isaac Redman, again, a very favorite guy in the feature back. And I think that, again, what I said earlier, the Steelers are really struggling with their offensive line. So depending where he ends up at, I'd go ahead and pick him up right now. If nothing else, you've got him for trade bait, but I like Isaac Redman. We'll start with you, Sparky. What are your thoughts about Isaac Redman with Pittsburgh?
There's another guy I really don't know much
Andrew
about.
Luck.
But, yeah, Andrew Luck. Being on Pittsburgh, yeah, I would buy.
All right, Jeff.
I use his trade bait. I'm really I'm not high on Pittsburgh's offensive line. I think they're going to struggle there. I think they're going to be more of a passing team this year. So I use him as trade bait.
All right, Josh.
I would use him as trade bait as well.
All right, guys, honorable mention on the running back situation. We'll try to get over to the wide receivers. We're here. Steven Ridley of New England, take a look at him. Rodgers with Atlanta, running back, take a look at him. Spiller with Buffalo, take a look at him. And Ryan Williams over at Arizona. And, of course, David Wilson, I like him over at the Giants. Good opportunity there. So we move over to wide receivers. We've got just a few minutes left. We'll probably have to pick up the rest of them next week. But wide receiver, here's who I like. I tell you what, Randall Cobb with Green Bay. Everybody likes the Green Bay players. Obviously, we look at Aaron Rodgers. We look at what they've been able to do. We look at what they've been able to build up there in Green Bay. Everybody likes Green Bay, especially when it comes to fantasy owners. And I think, again, everybody saw what Randall Cobb could do when he scored two touchdowns in the first game of the year against New Orleans Saints. After that, he was relatively quiet. But I like him, I'm not saying that he's the most talented guy out there, but certainly, Randall Cobb should be considered an early favorite to succeed Donald Driver in the fourth wide receiver spot there. So I tell you what, take a real strong look at Randall Cobb. Jeff?
Yeah, I really like him. He's a dynamic dual threat, either from a return perspective or from a wide receiver, kind of a diminutive Smurf type guy, but can really stretch the field and is a playmaker. So, yeah, I would be excited about the opportunity to add him on my team.
Josh?
I would be really excited to have him on my team. I think he'd be a great pickup.
And Brian?
Well, if anyone pays attention to, you know, who my second team is, my second team is the Packers. I love the guy. I think he's great. I'd definitely pick him up.
Well, we found some other team besides the Colts that Brian can talk about. Fantastic. Note to self. All right, guys, moving over to the desert there. And, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, I like him. So, you know, he's obviously got to have a person to connect with and side by side with, I guess, is what I'm saying. I like Michael Floyd in Arizona, guys. You know, with the 13th overall pick, the NFL draft added the much-needed complement to Larry Fitzgerald, I guess, is what I'm saying. I would tell you to pick him up as a handcuff to Larry Fitzgerald and as a good person to have. I wouldn't necessarily play them at the same time, but when you're looking at handcuffing two players in the event of an injury, certainly Michael Floyd would be your guy on that. And we'll start with you, Josh.
I have not been impressed with Michael Floyd so far in the preseason, so as of now I would have to sell because he hasn't shown me enough to buy or attempt to trade him.
Jeff, your turn.
I reluctantly sell. I think he's a possession receiver who will have a lot of opportunities within the red zone. I think the question that dogged him at Notre Dame is the consistency factor. So, reluctantly sell.
All right, Brian, real quickly.
I want to pick him up because of the fact that you don't know who's going to be throwing him the ball. And I don't know, I'm not sold on the Cardinals offense at all.
All right, guys, we're close to our two-minute warning, and I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds to say what they want to say, to rant about whatever they want to rant, whatever team they want to rant about. We'll start with you, Jeff. Go.
Well, I think it's great to have football season back, just talking about it. It doesn't matter if it's preseason or regular season. Obviously, it gives us a taste of seeing guys on the field against opposing teams. Not a lot of injuries thus far that have knocked people out for the season, although the Cowboys, Jason Witten, that could be an injury that lingers. Also, Brian Urlacher is interesting to see how that plays out. But great to have football back. In a couple weeks, college football season will be upon us as well. And in Indiana, the high school season started. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
All right, Josh, 30 seconds. Go.
Looking forward to seeing Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts get another solid win tomorrow. And Colts fans, stop leaving Lucas Oil Stadium early. You're embarrassing yourself and the Colts. And the Colts deserve better than that.
All right, Brian, 30 seconds, go.
To all the fans that jumped ship when Peyton Manning left, and now they're coming back because they see Luck, don't bother coming back. You're not welcome. I don't want to see you there. Don't talk to me.
All right, we're gotta wrap it up, guys. Jeff, where can people find your work and your masterpieces?
Bearsclaws.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and also have a show on Blog Talk Radio called Bears Claws every Tuesday from 9 p.m. to 9:30 Eastern Time during the football season. Thanks for having me.
Sounds fantastic. Josh, I know people can follow you on Twitter. How do they do that?
At Elmore Joshua.
All right. Brian, people can find you on Facebook, and how can people find your work?
Brian Jensen, not Jenkins. Don't listen to anything that Tom says about my last name. It's Sparky Super Colts fan. Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N.
Jensen, not Jenkins, but Jensen. That's how you say it. I'm with you, man. I'm with you guys. Well, that's got to do it. Go Colts, beat the Steelers Sunday night. Remember, don't drink and drive. It's not cool, guys. I've got to go, and we are out of here. We will see you next week.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.